That's Joe Rose and Friends, Blue Christmas. And Joe Rose, aka John Froggatt, is sitting in front of me. Not going to be talking to me about social anxiety, but I'll grab a quick word with you while you're here. That's doing really well, isn't it, that single?
It's taken on a bit of a momentum at the moment, probably partly in thanks to Mr. Follett for his input, which may be small but large in the effect that it's had on the actual single.
He wields a big influence, doesn't he?
He does,
why did you choose that particular song?
Good question. It's an Elvis one, and we did an Elvis one last year, Can't Help Falling In Love, and I think there might be a theme running here. I can seem to sing Elvis pretty well. So, well, it's up to people to decide whether it's pretty well or not, but it goes fairly well. So, and it was Christmas, and perhaps Helen, in her decision, thought she was a bit blue at the time, and she decided to go for Blue Christmas.
No. It's just it's a very poignant song about missing people and needing people. And it seemed to fit. People need Home Start.
Yes, because it's in aid of...
And they miss their families. It supports families, and they miss their families, and so they, you know, don't get support, so we provide that for them.
So money raised from the single will go towards
all
Home
of it.
Start.
Every single penny.
We've absorbed the costs between us of the manufacturer and the recording.
That's
so
brilliant.
Every single penny goes to Home Start. And thank you, Mr. Follett, for your involvement.
He was on your show.
He was, and very charming. Yeah. And lovely. Mm. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
Right, you're going to fade into the background.
I faded.
And I'm going to be chatting to you, Helen, about social anxiety, handling social anxiety and small talk, which is a good topic for this time of year.
Yeah, I thought so.
Because we find ourselves at Christmas parties and Christmas dinners next to people we barely know.
Yeah, there's a lot of it, isn't there? You can avoid it most of the year. But when it comes to Christmas, you might be talking to someone's husband or wife in work and without any real knowledge about them. It's like, how do you approach it? I mean, some people actually avoid social environments, make out they're sick, don't go, because they're just not sure how to proceed, which is a shame.
Well, even your members of your own family,
well,
you haven't
family
seen
functions
for a long time.
Can be very tricky, especially if there's a history, which there normally is some sort of history, and it's very easy to revert back to childhood roles as well with parents and children. And that can be awkward, and you're growing up and you've got your other halves there and someone's talking down to you, or your sister's talking to you as if, you know, it's not a pleasant experience, and it's, you know, people don't like that exposure. So I thought we'd talk about that today.
Well, and by small talk, what exactly do you mean?
I pick small talk as a topic, because obviously conversation is a massive subject in itself, but it's the initial ice-breaking, really. There's a thing going around last year, I certainly saw a thing going around last year about, I hate small talk. And I think people think it's inconsequential chat about nothing in particular. But the way I see it is that inconsequential chat lays the foundations for moving forward with that conversation. And you can judge a lot by how someone's reacting to you, whether you want to carry on with it. So if someone's not giving you much eye contact, looking over your shoulder all the time, you may feel lacking in confidence yourself because they're not listening properly, for example. And so the small talk is with topics that are inconsequential, maybe the weather, maybe the decorations at the party you're at, maybe the food. It's something that isn't life-changing in itself. Because, you know, we do like talking about things that are important to us, but that generally comes after you've decided whether you want to have more conversation. So the small talk thing with relatives, particularly at Christmas, can seem like a complete and utter waste of time. That's what people worry. They don't want to waste time on something that's pointless. We're very time-strapped, aren't we, at the moment? Well, you know, I think we always have been, but particularly at the moment, coming up to Christmas. People just don't want to waste time. But I think it's actually investing, because you're finding out about other people's lives if you bother to have a conversation with them. It's up to you what you ask them and how much detail you want to go into and how comfortable they are in responding to you. That will give you a guide, wouldn't it?
And it's not really small in a way, is it? Because you are sending out signals and absorbing signals all the time.
Whether you realise it or not.
And some people are really good at it.
I think you can learn to do it. I don't think you're either born like that or not. I think you can be encouraged as a child or discouraged as a child. I think a lot of people are reliant on social media messaging at the moment, and a lot of employers talk about it's very difficult to get their employees on the phone. They'd much rather message, which slows everything down to some extent in some businesses. So I just thought it'd be nice to talk about little things that you can do to make that social interaction or small talk just a bit easier.
Okay, then. So what are some of these things that you can do?
Well, I think the main thing is people worry about what they're going to say. how are they going to put themselves across in the best possible light? Which I think is a normal reaction, because people pleasing is important. It's what society is based on, everyone wanting to get along with other people. But actual fact, you haven't got to worry about what you're going to say. Because if you went in and tried to impress with some fact about yourself, let's say you'd pick something, and what's your reaction if someone comes and starts effectively bragging about themselves?
Yeah, it's not impressive, it's not likeable.
All we want to talk about really is ourselves. The most important thing to us is our name and what we're up to. And if someone doesn't show any interest in us, we're not going to like them. So almost the best conversationalists are the ones that ask questions and follow up with other questions. So how are you going to break the ice? You're going into a room, whether it's relatives you barely know, whether it's people you actually don't know, whether it's people you don't like, but you feel you have to be communicating with. I think you've got to leave your ego at the door. You know, let's forget about ourselves and concentrate on the people in the room. Because if your mission is to make those people feel more comfortable about themselves, it's all going to flow. If all you're doing is being preoccupied with how you come across, and let's face it, everyone's doing that in the room, then no one is reaching out, are they? No one's really connecting. Everyone's trying to impress.
And it's about listening as well. Mm. And listening is a skill, isn't it?
It's really hard. So if you're approaching a room, just going back slightly, because I want to come on to listening, actually. If you just approach the room with, how can I help someone else open up about themselves and listen to them and their story, then they'll probably ask me about mine and then it will flow. Or they won't, but it doesn't matter. Sometimes you might have noticed you've been chatting to someone and when you leave that conversation, you think, I know quite a lot about them, but they know nothing about me. Because you must find it as an interviewer, it's a natural thing for you to be doing. But people are so unused to someone asking them questions and then not being distracted, not interrupting. So if you can hold off, this is the thing. And then asking a follow-up question based on what the person said, you're proving you've listened. And that is, it's actually very, very tricky, because sometimes in a social situation, you feel you've got to do a tit for tat. If someone said something, you feel you've got to say something. It doesn't work like that. You don't have to. If they want to ask something of you, they will ask and it'll become evident. But most people are just so enjoying someone paying them attention and listening properly, giving them eye contact. And as you approach someone, you could smile. That makes them feel a lot less worried about your intention. We're always thinking, why is someone talking to us? What's their agenda? And all our agendas really are is to be liked by more people and feel comfortable in our environment.
And I know you said leave your ego at the door, but that's not about leaving your personality at the door, is it? You want to still be yourself.
Mm. It's about not worrying about how you're going to come across. So not thinking you've got to walk in and be life and soul of the party. I mean, some people actually find it very difficult if they've been cast in that role, or have cast themselves previously in that role and feel a lot of pressure to be the performer. And that can be just as bad. So someone who's normally gregarious, feeling under pressure to be that person. So it's about trying to focus on the other people, I think, and trying to improve the time that they're having, and by so doing, improve the time that you're having at whatever function it is. So sometimes there's big differences between you and a person. It might be a big age gap, or a big cultural gap, or a big interest gap, or a perceived one. Well, why not use that? That's what I do now, is to try and find out more about that person. So if it's someone a lot older than me, I found this in my 20s. I went to a function my mum wanted me to go to, and I knew no one there, and I thought, oh, it's going to be really boring. And then I sort of started speaking to this old lady, who I thought, there's going to be nothing in common whatsoever. But I just hit on a question asking something to do with how things have changed from when she was a child. Well, that just opened up the floodgates. Mm. Actually, a fascinating life story. And I made me realise people who have been around a bit longer than us have been doing stuff for a lot longer than us, and they've got stories to tell. And if someone's got a different culture, rather than just trying to ignore the fact that they're from a different culture or a different background, you're asking them about it. Maybe they're living in a different environment. What were the difficulties when they first moved or got themselves involved in that environment? So I think it's really being curious is the key thing, you know, not worrying about our ego and being impressive in itself, The best conversation is to those who listen.
And I suppose, you know, inevitably we look at the things in conversation or we try and find the things we have in common.
Mm.
But sometimes the things, as you say, that make us different are the things that are more interesting to talk about rather than, oh, you know him. Oh, I know him. It's the differences.
It is. That's what makes it interesting. And that's why a lot of the small talk isn't small, because it actually broadens your knowledge of the world and makes you more empathetic to others. If you've met people from different backgrounds, then you can talk to other friends about things that you've heard and maybe you'd be less judgmental. It's very easy to put people in categories, isn't it, and make assumptions. So it makes us less likely to make massive assumptions.
Are the practical things you can do, if you know you've got a big social event coming up, are the practical things you can do? Sometimes visualisation techniques and car maps. I was talking to John earlier about having a car map on your phone, just kind of getting yourself focused and in the mood.
I think you could imagine yourself having a nice time. I think that would be probably a good idea. I don't like some of the visualization exercises that people give salespeople, about imagining someone in a state of undress or something like that.
Oh, no, I'm imagining a visualization exercise where you're visualizing yourself having a great time.
Well, precisely then. So I immediately picked on what you might have been getting at. Yeah, I think it's important to feel that if I've done the preparation, the food sorted, the drinks are sorted, if you're holding an event and there's a mix of people, I think then what I tend to do is try and make sure that I speak to every single person that's come and try and introduce them to someone who I think might have something in common with them. And you can't assume on that. What we've all got in common is a need to be included and a need to be liked. So that's quite fundamental. So that's quite easy, really, and introducing people is a really easy way of doing that, getting the conversation going, giving a fact that you know about each person to the other, which they wouldn't necessarily have known, and then letting them have that conversation. I think as a host, the most important thing is to get people talking, and I whenever I'm at any event now, if I see someone on their own, I walk up to them. And then I talk to them. As a general rule, or a couple who you can tell are not part of the normal social group, I will talk to those people and either talk to them myself or get them involved with other people. I just think it's important. And if you want a function to go well, that's what I would be looking out for.
And humour, of course, is a good way of breaking the ice.
Self-deprecating humour, particularly. You know, if you can show that you're aware of your faults, and we've all got them. Everyone's got something that they're not that proud of. Just rather than trying to impress, I think go the other way. Try and make the other person shine.
Thank you, Helen. You're looking very glamorous at the moment.
Well, I'm shining because we're going to a Christmas lunch with the Stansted Business Forum. Really looking forward to that. We go there the first Friday of every month. So normally I'm at that breakfast before I come on the show.
Oh, it's a lunch this time, isn't it?
Yeah, so we'll be swapping it around.
Small talk. Will there be small talk?
Oh, there will be a lot of small talk, yes. And we're going to come back in January.
Yes.
And I was thinking something to do with planning and, you know, to plan or not to plan, because I think that's quite a big question. Some people don't like planning. Some people prefer to let things flow. And it's probably a middle ground we could talk about.
At the beginning of the year when people are setting out, what do I want to achieve
to get
this
the best
year?
Out of 2020.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. Lovely as ever to talk to you. Have a lovely Christmas lunch.
Thank you very much.
And a lovely Christmas. What are you doing Christmas Day?
We are...
Do you want to come back in now? Your mic's up. You're allowed to speak.
I think we're going to be.
We are.
I don't think he's not. Is he sure?
We've got a few things Christmas. This Christmas would be with my children.
Next Sunday.
Yeah. And we've got your lovely two on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
And then it's all over and we're planning for the new year.
Yeah.
We're going to Hunterton, to which we love going to.
Oh, yeah. Lovely. Yeah, sunny, honey.
Let's see what the new year brings.
Oh, well, lovely. Lovely to talk to you. Have a lovely time over
Thank
Christmas
you.
And I'll see you next year.
Merry Christmas.
Thanks, Lee.
Thank you. Merry Christmas. Bye-bye.